little K-cup things. Inside this, there's coffee grounds, right? They're my friend. I don't know if I could live life without what's in this coffee cup, this little K-cup thing in here. But if I were to be given just this and say, enjoy it, I'd look at it and I think, nothing I can really do with this other than open it up and eat the grounds, you know. And that's not good. I don't think it is. It's kind of bad. See, I look at that. There's actually a lot of coffee grounds in there. Right? You see it. Looks normal. Have you ever torn these apart just to look at them? This is the stuff I do on Saturdays when I'm alone. I investigate. Look at that. So it's just regular coffee. And if I eat it, it's really good. I was going to say something, but it takes a lot of time to build up moisture. Just wipe it off? What, is it embarrassing you? This is making Petraea feel so uncomfortable. But this here is not really as enjoyable as what I'd hoped. But I love coffee. I love it. I don't know why it's not as fun anymore. This is not fun. Wow. What's in there?
Water.
Really? Wow. I was hoping it was going to get better. It's getting worse. Wow. Oh. Woo! I think I need more water. Is there still stuff left on the lips? Just a little? Wow. This is a mess. All of that could have been avoided. I'm going to remember this illustration for a long time. You know, the only thing that makes this bad is because this was absent. This right here was absent. And Troy didn't know this, but he just fit right into the illustration. Because here's the thing. Your gifts, every single thing that the Lord has put in you, is precious in His sight. And He has so many great purposes for it. It's that K-cup right there. You know, when God formed us, He formed us out of the dust of the earth. He formed you and I out of the dust of the earth in proxy, so to speak. You know, Adam, and then everything came through. But, you know, we're dust. That's what we are. Until the Holy Spirit breathes in us. Until the Holy Spirit is added into your life. And see, the funny thing is Jesus is the river of living water. And He says to people, in John, He says it to the woman at the well. He says, you're looking for something. You're looking for the water. All you have is the dry this. It's not working. And then when we talk about the giftings, the natural giftings in your life, it will always end up like this until the Holy Spirit is added in your life. Until every good thing that God has put in you gets the right thing added to it, the Spirit. And not just that, but then all of the other manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You can study all day long and you can work all day long towards all the things that God has in your life, but it will leave you disappointed and frustrated, even with your own faith in Christianity, because it's lacking one thing, water. Not real water, but the eternal, life-giving water, the Holy Spirit. Your Bible reading will feel and taste just like that without the Holy Spirit. Your times of worship will feel and taste just like that without the Holy Spirit. And then all of the functions, the things that you know you should do. You want to step out in prophecy. You want to encourage someone. You want to stir someone up and exhort. You want to prophesy and lead someone. You want to be a diligent teacher or whatever. You'll teach and you'll do all these things, and it will come across just like that without that. And man, I was so captivated in my time with the Lord, because in one of my prayer times this last week, I was telling God all these great things that I wanted to do, and I was really asking him for help and all this kind of stuff. I was like, dude, Lord, this and this, and we were having a great conversation. It was one-sided, but we were having a great conversation. And then he started to talk, and I shut up, and I realized he wanted to say something. And what he really said to me was, he says, hold up. He says, what's your first love? And I went, and I knew what to answer. Jesus is always the answer, right? Well, Jesus, you are my first love. He goes, why are you so consumed with all this stuff? I need you to be consumed with me. You don't even know the timing if you don't know me. And I went, oh, I need to know you. He goes, yeah, that's right. Don't go running right past me to go to the buffet. I need to sit at the table with you. and I need to sup with you. I need to be in relationship with you. And he began to just challenge me. Ben, you have to love me more than everything. Do you love me more than pastoring? Yes. Do you love me more than, you know, being yielded and whatever? Yes. Do you love me more than singing and playing in times of worship? Yes. Do you love me more than study times and great whatevers that you discover in the Bible? Yes, I do, Lord. You're what all that's about. And man, it was so challenging. So I share that with you because, you know, I have to, like what Philippians says, forget everything that was last year and press on for what's this year. I have not attained everything yet. I haven't reached my goals yet. But my ultimate goal should always remain Christ. So today, I need to know him. Tomorrow, I need to know him. Then the other things can fit in where they're supposed to go. And tonight, what we're going to talk about is we're going to take our giftings, our natural giftings, and we're going to nail them down just a little bit more and have a little bit more fun with them. And then we're going to branch out of that, and we're going to start talking about the spiritual gifts and then the manifestation gifts. Because when God's Spirit shows up in our midst, that's him manifesting. And what does that look like? And at the core of all of this conversation has to be a utmost love for Jesus first, and then really that translates everything else has to be motivated for love for others. Because it's all happening in the context of the body of Christ, supplying whatever. And if you don't love the persons you're prophesying to or serving or leading or that, then everything that you do, if it's even it's right, it's going to come across to them as this. And it's not going to taste good. And it's going to leave them wanting. But if you add the Holy Spirit, man, that's something that's really good. So, amen. Praise God. All right, that was opening illustration. I need to take a 2-second break and drink some more water. Wow! Whoa! You know, I like chocolate-covered espresso beans. That was nothing like that at all. That was hideous. So, wow. All right, praise God. Let's go to some scripture, amen? Hachalula. Man, oh man. Wow. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I got so much here tonight that I'm not sure which one I want you to think of. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is a popular section of scripture. And I think I want to kind of start and focus on that for a couple seconds before I get into the other things. So who's got Romans chapter 12, verse just 1 and 2? And I want you to read it out really loud. Romans chapter 12, just verse 1 and verse 2.
Perfect will of God.
Amen. Amen. You know, I think of what it looks like when we surrender our natural giftings and talents to the Lord, and what it takes for us to get to the place where we surrender our natural talents to the Lord. And there's one person in particular that I think of when it comes to what it looked like for him to surrender, and that's Paul. Paul had some natural talents and some natural abilities, didn't he? He had some amazing natural talents and abilities. Acts chapter 8, 1 through 3 talks about this. Chapter 22, verse 3 talks about this. Natural giftings, evident. He was a smart cookie. But you know what? As zealous as he was and as smart as he was and as powerful of a orator and a leader that he was, until his natural qualities and giftings were surrendered to Christ, they were the worst enemy to Christ. So he fought Christ. It was like tooth and nail. He fought him. So much so that Christ had to knock him off his horse and then speak in an audible voice so that everyone in his company heard God's voice but couldn't see the guy, and he was blinded until someone came to restore sight. And I look at that and I think that's very similar to many people who have strong natural giftings that God says, I want what I've put in you. And if they're resisting it, he's not referred to as a jealous God just because he likes the term. It's a quality in him. He really wants what belongs to him. And you belong to him. You belong to him. And so I think of often people like one. I had this one young person in a youth group years and years ago. And this young kid, he first came in off the streets. He liked all the girls that were in the youth group and stuff like this. And he came in, and we had probably 70-something kids at this concert-y night thing where we would host these events. And this kid would show up, and he just looked like trouble. Everything about him just looked like trouble. Kind of like every time I saw him, I wanted to frisk him because I knew there were drugs. I just knew there were drugs somewhere. And there really was. I didn't know that, but there really was. But come to find out, this kid really was dealing drugs and making money and all this kind of stuff. And he was just bad news all the way around. And he really liked one particular girl in the youth group, so he started coming. But everywhere he went, he had a crowd of losers. He just drew other neglected souls everywhere he went. And so my first and my most initial response, sad to say, was not to lovingly embrace him. I was protecting the flock. So I just was always on this kid, always. I was like, hey, everywhere he went, I ended up being there, or I had a leader there or something. And he just always felt, I know he felt like, man, that guy just doesn't like me. I really didn't. But one particular night, he broke, tears on his face. He is getting saved. He's at the altar. And I'm thinking, that's not real. He's just wanting to woo the girl that he come to impress. I'm thinking, I can see right through that. But the next youth meeting, three guys. And he's like, you got to get down there and get saved.
Yeah, it's all right, man.
That's right. And he's there, and they're getting saved. And I'm like, no, not that. I mean, okay, that might be real, but I don't know if it's long lasting. I was so skeptical. And next thing I know, this kid is just, he is like an engine of evangelism. And the same qualities that the devil used, he was rallying people around him all the time. Now it's like God had him. And you know what happened to this kid? He relapsed and went back into drugs. And then he gave his heart so completely to the Lord, he became a youth minister in Chicago, and he was leading all kinds of people to the Lord. Last time I heard, he went through one of those youth, now I can't remember the name of it, but anyway, the what? Somebody said it? No, I don't know. Yeah. No, not Youth with a Mission, but the other one. It's Teen Challenge. There you go. Teen Challenge. He went through Teen Challenge, totally got on fire, and he found a fit for everything that he had experienced and gone through. And man, he made hay. That guy really made a big difference. And got married to a young lady. And both of them are saved and serving God. And I look at that and I think that that's powerful. Why I share that story is because he just seemed to be the exact opposite. And yet God got a hold of him. And then God did great things through him. Same thing with Paul. And I don't know about you, but there's probably giftings in you. The question is, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, those natural qualities that God's put inside of you, you have a choice to make with them. You either surrender them like a living sacrifice at the altar of God, and you have to tie those puppies to the altar, or the natural tendencies will jump right off that altar and say, oh, no, I can't do it. Think about the figurative of language that they use, the pictures. They would take the sacrifice at the burnt offering. There's four horns on the altar, that brazen altar. They would take that cow or whatever, and they would tie it to each of the corners, because the minute the fire hit it, the muscles would do, and it would jump. It would leap. I mean, that thing was just minutes alive right before, you know? They just cut it and drained the blood, put it right on. They light the fire, and man, it would jump. So they tie it to the altar. And now, I look at your life and I look at my life, and when it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, you can present your very body, your person, as a living sacrifice. Living sacrifices don't stay on the altar easily. They don't. It's uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable place. We jump right off. It's hot. It burns. It burns the flesh. But that's your choice and my choice to surrender our natural giftings to the Lord for his purposes. And I'll tell you, there is no higher calling or act of worship than to give back to the Lord what he's given to you. And that's a wonderful, wonderful purpose for us. Amen. From the last time that we talked about giftings, I said part of the reason God gives gifts to you is so that he can manifest the body of Christ in this earth. Three more things that I want to say is it's how he evangelizes the world. It's how he spreads the word. He spreads his truth, the knowledge of him, to all the world through people who are surrendered and give to him the giftings he's put. The other things is to the body. He edifies and builds up other people in the body of Christ through surrendered individuals. He gives people, as he's doing that, he delivers people from things that have bound them up. There are so many God-given gifts that if it wasn't for the gracious soul in the church or the merciful member in the church, people would never be healed or set free. We've got to have the nursemaids, the nurses in God's kingdom, to be able to comfort and to hold those that are hurting. And then there's those that God gives to the body for the sole purpose of maturing and building up and edifying in that way. We've got to have the teachers and the preachers. We have to have them. Why? Because we can't stay where we're at. That's retarded. Not in a negative sense or politically incorrect. In a literal sense, your growth is stunted and you are not maturing. You have to grow. Or it would be an evil God if he said you're not going to grow. So we've got to have that. Those are all great purposes for why God has those gifts in you. All right, so if you are okay with being a little different, here's what I want us to do. I'm going to talk about some special giftings that we went through. And I'm going to ask you after I go through this, maybe write these down real quick, just the title so that you remember them. And then I'm going to give you some instructions that involve these black and colorful markers up here and these clear name tags, okay? Now, natural giftings, these are giftings that, if you remember from the last time we talked, these are without repentance. Whether you're a sinner or a saint, you've got this in you. There's something in you that God's put in there, and it all comes out of Romans 12. The first one that we talked about was the prophet. The prophet. Second one we talked about was the server or the worker. The server, the worker. So you got the server and the worker. Third one that we talked about was the teacher, the instructor, the teacher. So the prophet, the server, the worker, the teacher. Then the next one we talked about, there's just a few more. The exhorter, or I called him the motivator, or the cheerleader. You could say either one of those. So cheerleader, motivator, the exhorter. That sounds like a mechanical tool of some sort. So the motivator. The last three, the giver, or we'll say the provider. The giver, the provider. You might even say sugar daddy. I don't know. That just sounds funny. That just sounds wrong, but it kind of fits. Why am I messed up like this? Sarah, pray for me in your quiet time so that God redeems every part of my mind. And the last two, the businessman, the administrator. That's the administrator, the businessman. I like that. That's good stuff. And the very last one, the heart. Mercy. The heart. Mercy. So those seven are broad categories of natural gift types. And I'm only going to focus right now on the good aspects of these, because if we add the Holy Spirit, there is nothing but good that comes out of those things. And even if you add in the natural, you see benefits from them, because I don't know, God is so good. These giftings have benefit no matter what. People that are even in the world, they still do good in these areas. I'm amazed at this. But for those that surrender them to the Lord, they're just such power. So the prophet, how many of you remember what the prophet is and what it's like? This is the person who truth, what is right, what is wrong. It really matters to this individual, right? How many, if you got me, you remember it? The server, the worker. This is the good deed guy. This is the one that just tell me what to do. I just want to find my place and help. They don't want to lead necessarily. They just show me where to plug in. I want to do the most good. I just want to volunteer here. I want to work here. They're the one that's at every opportunity to serve. They're always the worker. They feel best in there. The teacher, what do? These are the people that love to pick things apart and learn them from the inside out, repackage them, unpackage them, and then pass the information on to anyone that will give them an ear, as if that's important to you too. And they just love it. They really get alive because of that. The exhorter, the motivator, the cheerleader. What is this person? This person is the encourager who, no matter what you do, anytime you're around them, they're going, yay, roo, rah, roo, rah. And they just really stirring you up and building you up and encouraging you. And it's just amazing. The Tony Robbins of the world. And then the giver, the provider, the sugar daddy. This is the person. They don't care the right or the wrong or any of that. They just want you to have what you need. They're there. It doesn't matter if it hurts you. They're still going to give it to you. They don't. Why? They're just going to supply. That's how they fit, and that's how they love, and that's what they do. And you see people like this all the time. They're always giving a bum $20 every time. Who cares if they're buying whiskey with it? I'm just going to give them $20, you know? And that's the way they work all the time. And then they've got the administrator, the businessman. This is the person that under their brain, things just are like a time machine. They just work like a clock, and they're just so good. They love spreadsheets and details and all that drives me insane. And then the heart and the mercy. This person, without the heart, we couldn't be alive. This is the hospital of humanity. Everyone loves the heart because they're always going to love you. And it's just such a good quality. These persons are the people that love everything. Everyone, everywhere. It's just the way it works. All right, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of these categories. And I want you to at least identify on this piece of paper at least two people. I want you to find them and give them what you think they are. So I'm going to have Petrea help me for a second. Hey, Petrea, I want you to come up. I want you to write on one of these. One that applies to me. And Bill, would you help me out and come over and write on one of those, one that applies to me? And you guys can demonstrate what I mean. And there might be more, you know, Jeff might say, well, you're the mercy guy. And he might come up and give me a mercy sticker. And then I'll look at it and go, stop teasing. That's not funny, you know, and stuff like that. And then now while they're doing that, I'm going to secretly write down two for myself, which I think are my primary natural qualities and giftings. And then one that I think might be my primary or at least my secondary. Because undoubtedly, you probably fit in one or at least two of these. You might be the rare person that has four. And if you are, stop showing off, okay? But, I mean, you might have a couple of these. But the goal is, I don't want you to tell everybody what you think you are. I want you to see what people in your church, your friends, those closest to you, think they see in you. Because I think that's important. And I'm looking around. If you don't know everybody, that's okay. And if someone doesn't have any stickers, make one up and put it on them. I don't want a single person not to have a sticker, okay? I think Al should have 10 stickers in about 2 seconds. So I want everybody. There's something that you could say, well, I saw him do this or that. I saw her do this or that. I think this about them. Okay, so what'd you put down? Go ahead.
Well, because
stick me right there.
Clown wasn't on the
What is that? I can't read it. With it. Exhorter. What did you put down?
Exhorter.
You did? I'm a double exhorter. Double exhorter. Oh, my goodness. I wonder why. I'm the only one with a microphone, so you put exhorter. All right. Okay, so just stand up to your feet. Now, there's a bunch of pins at this one. There's a bunch of pins at this one. I'm going to give you 1 solid minute to just come up, start writing down, pick a couple people out, slap a sticker on them. Who do you think they are out of those 7 giftings? You find them. And if you're really ambitious, get a sticker, find 7 people, and give 1 to each person you think it fits. You could find a prophet, find a server and a worker, find a teacher, find someone who's an exhorter, find a giver, find an administrator business person, find somebody that's a heart of mercy and just slap that sticker right on them. We need like sticker music. So. There's got to be some prophets. There's got to be some prophets. There's got to be some server workers, some teachers, some exhorters, some giver providers. Got to be an administrator, businessy person, someone with hearts of mercy, anything like that. They got to be there. Be thinking about the qualities that make up some of that. Who's a person that just likes to find just show me something good to do. How can I help or what can I do? You know, and it's so important. I like it. I like it. I like it. You get all kinds of stuff going on here. I don't think Kurt. If you don't have a sticker, you need some more stickers. And it's totally fair to go up to somebody that you think knows you and say, "Hey, what am I?" Say, "Hey, what do you think I am? What am I? Am I a businessman? Am I an administrator person? Am I an exhorter? Am I a teacher? What am I? Am I a giver? Am I a server worker?" What am I? I know there's some server workers out there that don't have their stickers on them yet. There's some server workers that need their stickers. And no fair putting kick me on their back. That is not a... I think I saw somebody with kick me. That is not a gift, okay? So... Uh-oh. Yeah. Look at that.
I could answer that one after that,
Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. All right. Praise God. You got a lot of stickers. Did you put a sticker on John? You did? Did he put a sticker on you? Dude, you can't be slacking, man. You can't be slacking. You got to tell her what her sticker is. That's not right, man. I'm calling you out. You better slap a sticker on that. And yeah. And then you need to make note of what you think your primary and your secondary gift is, just for yourself. Don't tell anybody. What do you think it is for yourself? This is very, very important. Very, very important. This is good. You sleep over there, Steve?
I'm teasing.
All right, so there's seven. Now, these are broad categories, and if you feel like they're very specific, it's just because we haven't had enough time to expound on them, because they really are broad categories. Everybody fits into one of these at least. And so let me just see. How many got a sticker on them that you can read and stuff? I've got two exhorters. I think this one says prophet. I think that says prophet and teacher. And you got a lot on there. What all you got on there? There you go. Look at that. Ken's got a lot. I'm not going to ask him to read his. And you got three on there. You put yours all nice and neat. Why you do that? That's crazy. Look at that. Troy, you got a bunch over there. Look at that. You put yours nice and neat too. What is that? Both of you lined them up like your military or something like that. Okay, so here's what I want us to do next. All right, so all of those that have a prophet sticker, stand up real quick. I just want to see you. A prophet sticker. Okay, so I want to keep standing, because here's what I'm thinking. Now, everybody who knows each of these, now think of the qualities of what makes a prophet a prophet. Natural giftings. These are individuals that somebody in this room thought enough of to stick a sticker on that says, these are the kind of people where what's right has to really be proclaimed. These are the people that can't stay silent about things that are appropriate. They have to talk about what's right. It needs to be spread. Someone's got to know about it. And to keep these individuals shut up about what's right and what's wrong, it would almost be impossible. Look, and now they're saying, you better stand up. Do you even have a sticker? You didn't stand up. Look at that. And so who told him to stand up? You're a prophet. You better stand up too. She's like, that's not right. You better stand up. Because this is the quality and the nature of that gifting. It just burns in you. So go ahead and grab a seat. Thanks for standing up. Who next one? The server worker. Who's got server worker on them? Stand up real quick. Server worker. Okay. So this is the person that most often is totally fine with not running the show, just plugging in and helping out. This is the person that feels like some of the greatest benefit just comes from, you know, putting their hand to the plow and making a difference. This really is what the world runs on. Person that shows up, does their job, doesn't complain, doesn't whine, just works hard. Does it? I don't know. Sound pretty good. You guys are my favorites. It's just awesome. I love you so much. Sit down. And so, all right. So teachers, who got a teacher sticker? Sit down. No, teacher. I just love that. I love it so much. So the teachers, this is wonderful. So truly, if you've got this on, somebody in the room looks at you and says, well, that person really does enjoy diving deep into things, just exploring tidbits, factoids, learning how it works. And they love information. They love gaining it. And then they love sharing it somehow. They just want to share it. They're constantly showing people how to do something or to be something, or they're explaining something. So that's very powerful. It's an awesome gift. And without them, boy, we wouldn't be able to do the things that we do in the world. So thanks. Grab a seat. The exhorters and the motivators and the cheerleaders in the room, go ahead and stand up. Who's there? Who's got that one? Morgan got 26 stickers. They all say exhorter. I love it. So that is awesome. Who are these people? These are the Barnabases. These are the ones where no one else will say something good about a person. This person will say, oh, yeah? Well, you're just the best thing that God put on the planet, and we're going to see the best thing come out. And that's the most amazing thing, because everyone needs a cheerleader. When everyone else in the world turns their back on you, it's these individuals that say, I'm right here for you. You can do it. And that's powerful. That's the heartbeat of God. It's the voice of the Lord. So thank you, encouragers and exhorters. And we got a couple more. The givers. The givers and the providers. The givers and the providers. This is a powerful, powerful gift. Crazy Uncle, is that a sticker? That's amazing. So, there's always one in the crowd. It's usually me. It's like, I know. And so look at it. The givers are those that when they see the need, even if they aren't the physical person to do it or whatever, they will supply what is needed for the job. They just are. They're the ones that lend the car. They're the ones that pay for this or that. They're the ones that are always saying, well, is this taken care of? And they're willing to go without so someone else will have. And that doesn't stop. In every aspect of the church, they're trying to make up the difference. And without that, oh man, we couldn't be here. We really couldn't be here. So that's a very, very powerful thing. And I don't believe it stops with just money. It's with every aspect of who they are. It's with their time, with their energies, with everything else that they are. They really do give. So that's a wonderful, wonderful gift. Thank you. Last two, the administrator, the businessman. Who is that? Wow, look at that. This is good. This is great. Man, I'm so glad you got that sticker. Did you put that sticker on it? I'm so glad you did that. I know who you are now, girl. And then, can't hide. That's it. Got a job for you just as soon as I can pay for it. Sure, right. I don't got a job for you, Josh. I'm sorry. No, I'm going to beat you at a board game tomorrow night, though. That's what I'm going to do. No, Jesus. You know, I look at this, and it's amazing, but without the gift of leadership, nothing would be accomplished in the world. Literally, it's amazing the difference leadership makes. And without that leadership, people are not only just in chaos, they really suffer. The anxiety levels grow so fast and so high in people's lives without the presence of leadership. I don't know why it's not more of a topic that we talk about in church. We have to have redeemed, godly leaders that are very comfortable in their own skin. They're firm, they're loving, because that is the way that we effectively change the world. Without it, the church would be headless. They wouldn't have anything to do. So thank you, leaders. I love it. And you are probably the ones that have thought multiple times, we could have done this whole process better. If he would have just done this or that. You probably had four ways of making it run smoother. I'm so sorry for frustrating you. So I need to speak to an encourager really quick, okay? But we end with the heart. Let me see the heart. Everybody who's got a heart sticker, stand up. That is awesome. What an awesome gift. That is awesome. Okay. So if you've got that heart, you know, you really are the reason why people get saved. I really believe it, because without that felt heart of God, people don't feel in real terms the love of Jesus, because you're the first gospel they read. And so when it comes to the whole aspect of the church being the body of Christ, you are often the very first impact of the love of Jesus. You're the hug that they receive at the altar. You're the praying person that empathizes and shares whatever they're going through. And you are the person that they no doubt remember for years to come. They cried with me, and they were tearing their hearts, and they were talking to me about this and this and that. And it just changes them. It changes them. And God really does move through people who have compassion and that heart. And I just love it. So it's an awesome gift. So thank you. Now, what I'm curious, and where we're going with all of this, is we've been talking about natural giftings, but we haven't talked about what you think your natural gifting is, and we haven't added the layer of talents to it yet. See, when we go through the giftings that are there in Romans 12 and we think of it, and up until this first class, you probably thought of all those listings of prophet and teacher and all those just in spiritual terms. And it might have been a big shift of focus, a paradigm shift for you to say, okay, well, this is actually natural giftings that the Lord's put in mankind that should be surrendered to the Lord. But that doesn't talk about talents. What are talents? And how do you find the difference between a talent and a gifting? See, talents are these things that you have a natural capacity for, that you can, over time, you can tweak it and you can grow it and you can refine it and all of those things. But your talents change with time and energy and focus and all of that stuff and opportunity. It really does change over your life. What you were good at when you were young may be different than what you're good at when you're old. And what your abilities are as far as talents, you might be a great football star when you're 19, but when you're 50, you can't get out of bed. And so, I mean, do you have the capacity for it? No. Did you have the talent? At one time, you had the talent. But here's the difference between talents and giftings. Giftings are always there. Giftings are always there in your life. They will never go away. They will always be there, but your choice to either neglect them or use them or have them redeemed is up to you. You let them be redeemed by God. You choose to invest them in God's economy, and God does great things with it. And how he uses it and does great things with it is through every phase of your life, you partner it with talents and other individuals. So at every phase of your life, you're constantly learning new skills, new abilities. You have capacities for things. And I look at some of the talents that people have. You know, sports is one that's obvious, but it may not just be that. It might be art. It might be, you know, technology. It might be, I don't know, some other kind of crazy thing. It could be musical skills, like Steve picked up the bass guitar after years of doing interpretive dance, and it was amazing, but he found a new skill, So I like that, and Steve is, I will not be surprised if it's someday I get a bill in the mail that says, hey, you got to pay for my psychologist, you've really messed me up, you know, because I pick on Steve or his dog all the time, so I'm going to have to change, I'm going to buy your dog some presents or something, but you know, it's amazing how your talents and abilities. So like if you're a teacher, with new education, with new whatever, that you feed your mind and you hone those skills, you have new horizons to exercise that gifting of teaching and instruction. And at every phase of your life, you have a different audience of students maybe. You have a different group of people that you're instructing. And you'll see a common thread through your whole life. This gifting is showing itself up in this way. This gifting is showing himself up in this way. But that gifting is in you no matter what. But your talents are alternating all over the place. Now, partnering. This is something that as we kind of wrap up tonight, I am so excited about this. I love this. Partnering. Okay, wait a minute. Before I talk about partnering, I have to talk about how natural giftings that you see in yourself. Because when I asked you about what do you see in yourself, let me give you some examples out of scripture here. I want to ask you some rhetorical questions, and then at the end, I'm going to come back, and if anything sticks out, I want you to share it with me. But there's a few people I see in scripture. First of all, David. When we first are introduced to David, we see one of the main stories out of David's life, 1 Samuel 17, 32 through 51. It talks about how David shows up at the battlefront and he kills Goliath, and he gives all of these qualities about how he was as a shepherd in the backwoods, and he killed a lion and he killed a bear. And then when he's there on the battlefront, even though he's just a young boy, he says, how come we're tolerating this uncircumcised Philistine? And then he goes out and he kills him with a slingshot. He doesn't even wear King Saul's armor. And then he cuts off the head and he stands over him, all this kind of stuff. I want you to think about this for a second. What were his natural abilities? What were his natural abilities just from that story? What could you speculate about and say, you know what, I bet you only a guy with this kind of a quality could do that kind of stuff. What were those giftings that were in him? What was he like? And then ask yourself, why were those giftings best suited for his calling and role as king of Israel? This is where it starts to shift gears, because it's going to answer in just a few minutes. You're going to hopefully have a whole eureka moment where you go, you know what? I am more confident in my calling than I've ever been. Because your calling does not spit in the face of the natural giftings God's put in you. It doesn't. He takes what he put in you naturally, he redeems it, and he has a purpose for it. Because when God puts you together, he had that purpose in mind. He wasn't wrong. It's amazing, but you will see in the natural qualities in an individual that God says, I put those things in there for my purposes. They may not even know it. So what were the qualities in David that made him suitable to be king of Israel? And not just king, but a king with this label, after God's heart. Wow. There was something about him. Now let's think about Moses. Moses, he became this leader and this judge. If I think about Moses, Moses had some natural qualities. What were these natural qualities? And why were those natural qualities in Moses so important and so unique that he alone was one of the meekest men on the planet and one of the people that God said, you are the one I'm going to use to not just lead Israel out of Egypt in bondage, but give them the law and set up the entire nation of Israel in an official sense? What kind of a person could he be to be the judge of 2.5 million people at one point? Think about that. I bet you that guy had some administrative skills. I bet you he knew how to tell 2.5 million people how to pack up their tent and follow the cloud. At one point, he was doing it all himself until Jethro said, hey, buddy, you're going to kill yourself. You need some help. I look at that. He had to have some skills, didn't he? He had to have some natural qualities. There's a couple other people I have to point out, though. Joseph, I love this guy. I love Joseph. Joseph, what was his natural skill and ability? Oh, I love this. Turn with me to Genesis 39:2, and we're going to, I don't have time to go to Peter. Well, no, I am going to go to Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Go to Genesis 39:2 through 6, and while you're going there, I'm going to go to Peter, Andrew, James, and John. In Matthew 4:18 through 22, we see these four fishermen. What were their natural qualities? I'm going to talk to Kurt because Kurt and I can talk on this level. Kurt, these four guys were tradesmen. You know a lot about this. You've been a part of unions and worked in trades and stuff like that. What are the qualities? What are the qualities of good tradesmen that set them up in such a unique way that God looks at a tradesman and say, you are divinely gifted to be a fisher of men? Why would Jesus look at these guys and say the words, you're not just going to fish for fish anymore, guys. You got some skills. You've learned some traits. There's qualities about you that I see as a disciple. And now I'm going to teach you, and you're going to learn the trade of fishing for men. And then they became the first disciples. What made them so special? Do you realize that was the biggest group of disciples? Four. We didn't have four tax collectors in the crowd. So there was something special that God had set up to use them. I mean, they could have spent the rest of their life as tradesmen, right?
They were driven, willing to overcome
anything. Look at that. I do love that. I mean, they had a quality and a tenacity about them to spend all night out there mending nets, doing the tedious work, all for what? The catch. And so then these guys had that quality built in them. They just had to have it redeemed and focused for what God wanted. And then they kept that same gifting and natural talent. And I'm telling you, that's some powerful stuff. Now, each of them had, in the category of talents, some were the exhorter, some were, you know, the teacher, some were the prophet, you know, because Peter was definitely that prophet person. So I look at that and I think that's powerful. Now, Joseph, Genesis chapter 39. 2-6. It's not very much scripture there, so let's go ahead and read that. You got that up there, Jack? Let's go ahead. So, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, Potiphar. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and he served him. And then he made him overseer of his entire house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for bread, which he ate. And Joseph was handsome in appearance. I like that too. And he was good looking. So I think that's hilarious. So evidently, what was the natural gifting that was in this individual? So this one I'm going to shift. We're no longer rhetorical. If you had to place a sticker tonight on Joseph, what sticker would you place on him? If you know, raise your hand real quick. What would you put on him?
Businessman administrator.
Why? He was good at it. You mean he would be a good general manager for the Packers? So I would say anybody else, what else would you say he might qualify?
Really not one of those gifts except for the fact that the anointing of God on him, whatever he touched, God blessed.
There was an anointing of God. There was the water, the Holy Spirit on him. That's definitely true. The Spirit of God was upon him and working in his life. But the Spirit of God activates something. That's a good point. But the Spirit of God has to have something to work with. Oh, I wasn't going to say or share this, but you know what? God doesn't need people, does he? He's God. He could have done it all without us. But you know what God did in his divine wisdom? He created you and me. And then he limited himself to work through you and me. He said, I could do anything. I have all power and authority. But my power and authority said, I want to create you. And I want to do a miracle through you. He doesn't need to. He wants to. And so then he submits in a way to your willful choice to love and surrender your giftings to him. And so then he's patient. He has all eternity, doesn't he? So if you don't do it, Esther, so to speak, what did Mordecai say to Esther? Hey, if you don't surrender, maybe God will raise up deliverance from somewhere else. So the reality is God's will be accomplished, but you have an opportunity to partner with God. Now, this is powerful because Joseph had natural abilities to be a businessman, administrator, leader, and with the Holy Spirit upon him everywhere he went, be it in prison, be it at Potiphar's house, be it as a little kid, he could see it and it was there. And then eventually he led Egypt, second in command. What an awesome exploration of his giftings and use of it. God really did use him in a mighty way. Now, what is powerful is with these people, did you know that they partnered with others? Moses was a leader and a judge, but we see that right there at the beginning of his life, he said, God, don't, I'm so scared, I'm not eloquent, I can't really talk. What in the world was he saying? He was basically saying, I can run the world, and I know what's right, and I know what's wrong, and I know how to structure this. Just don't make me talk in front of people. That's what he said. And God was angry at him. What? All right, Aaron, get over here. You're pretty and you can talk, so you do it. And so then everywhere they went together like a dynamic duo. I look at that and I think that's crazy. And then not just that, but, you know, Paul, this is so powerful. Paul was not accepted into the clan of disciples until Barnabas came along. Wow. Paul couldn't have done anything if there wasn't a Barnabas. So you have this great prophet, person who stands up and declares what's right and wrong, and he's going to go and he's going to be like Elijah and chop off the heads of 400 prophets and do whatever. He's that kind of a person, but he wouldn't have had an open door. He wouldn't have met any of the other disciples or had that right hand of fellowship if it wasn't for a Barnabas, a cheerleader, an encourager to come along and say, hey, nobody else likes you yet because you killed a lot of Christians, but I'm on your side. I love you, man. Jesus loves you. And, you know, I'm imagining that's what that encourager did. So you just walk with me and I'm just going to, you know, tell everybody you're great and give them some cookies. And after the end of all this, they're all going to be awesome. And then you're going to be their friend. Okay. And I mean, he just encouraged him. And then when he got there, he's like, hey, everybody, I like him. He's good. Everybody's listening to him. He's not killing me. This is awesome. You know, there's an anointing. I think he's powerful. And then he steps aside and then Paul is like, yeah! And I'm like, wow, if it wasn't for Barnabas. So then, for over a year, they partner together. They partner together until the mighty prophet can't take the encourager anymore. Because he wants to take this guy, and he wants to take this guy. And he's like, well, that guy deserted me. He wasn't right. I'm out of his head. And what is Barnabas doing? But he's still a good guy. I really like him. I want to take him. No, I don't like you either now. This is what's right. And that's the way the prophet gifting works. And so he's like, all right, I'm taking this guy. Paul, or Silas, you get over here today. You take John Mark. You know, and he kicks it. And Barnabas has to go his way. And Paul and the other guy goes that way. And I think, man, they still had to partner with each other. But some giftings work better with another gifting than with other giftings. And you know, you and I, we have giftings in this room that you will partner with better than others. The reality is this: you cannot do what God's called you to do all alone. You can't. Because if you are the prophet, you've got to have a heart. But you've not been built to be the heart. But you better respect the heart. If you're the evangelist or you're the teacher and all this other stuff, man, you've got to have the servant. You have to. Because you're spending all your time in the book. You're never going to sweep the floors or set up the chairs. Who's going to be there to do that? You know what I mean? And it's like, so you need that other individual. You have to have it. And then if you have only the exhorter and no administrator, it's going to be a great party, but no one will know when it starts. No one's going to know the agenda. Hey, stop all the laughing, okay? But it's going to be a party, you know? And if someone shows up. So I look at that and I think it's, you can't do it alone. And so the heartbeat of all of this, the joy in it for me is I really do see that you have giftings. I hope tonight as you go to bed, you spend those last moments of your day, say, Lord, you made me this way. It's your fault that I think like this and I act like this. But you know what? I need to give this to you. Why I think this is important is because I don't know if you've been sitting on your gifts. Because what you will be judged on when you see Jesus face to face is what you've done with that gift. And you know, that's probably the thing that scares me more than anything. With all, cut through all the humor. The most harsh words that I read in the New Testament, like when I read in Luke how Jesus shared the parable of the talents and stuff. When he went away and he sent his representative Jesus, because it's what it's figuratively like, the king of the kingdom, but yet all of the people said, we don't like that king, so we're not going to invest our talents. That's basically what they say. This is the Ben paraphrase of Luke 16's version of that parable, or Luke 19, I think. And he said, we don't like your representative boss, so we're not going to listen to him or invest our talents. And so then when the owner comes and judges everybody, he calls the lazy servant lazy, and he throws him out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's just miserable. It's wicked. And I look at that and I say, God, you know what? I think the truth of this whole teaching is what you've put in us naturally. If we're neglecting it, and if we're not surrendering it to the Lord and using it for God's purposes, it's not me you have to deal with. You are going to have to deal with the God who gave that gifting to you. Someday, God will say, how come you didn't administrate? How come you didn't mercy? How come you didn't teach? How come you didn't serve? How come you didn't? You get the point? I made you that way, and you refused to use it for me. And he'll take it personally because he gave it to you. Now, as your pastor and your friend, what my hope is that the fruit of everything that God's put in you, that I get to see and enjoy. Because that's the joy I get along the journey. Seeing people come into their giftings and talents and the joy of saying, God gave me this. I'm doing this. This is amazing. Look at me. Look at me use my gift and talent. Pastor Ben, look at this. I'm flying. And I'm going, I know you're flying. You're going to hit a wall. You did. That's awesome. You hit a wall. Mercy, quick, get over here. Help me. I'm busy writing a skit about it. You help, okay? So that's really what I'm doing. But it's such a joy to watch God work in your life. So I don't know how to end this message, so let's just pray. Heavenly Father, so thank you so much for your love and your spirit working in our lives. And I ask for you to stir up in us the desire to use our gifts and talents that you put in us for this season. And actually, all of those talents, those skills, those natural capacities or the affections for a certain thing or another that we have, Lord, would you stir us up that we would use those for you, that you would quicken in us like water quickens something? Would you stir it up in us like a river that we would use our giftings and our talents for your purposes? Lord, just like what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, every one of us put ourselves on the altar and say, we are yours, every part of us, Lord. So use me. I'm your mouthpiece, Lord. And there are people in here that are your hands and your feet and your heart and your mind. Use us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. All right, praise God. You guys are dismissed. I'll see you on Sunday. Open us, Lord.